Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Steelcast Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Faraz Ahmad from Orient Capital, their investor relations partner. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Steelcast Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director, along with Mr. Subhash Sharma, CFO, and Mr. Umesh Bhatt, Company Secretary. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today, and actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page 2 of the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website as well. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Tamboli for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faraz. Yeah, thank you, Faraz bhai. A very good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, I welcome you all to Q3 FY23 earnings call of our company. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges. As we reflect upon quarters gone by, 2022 was a year of derating and modest earnings growth, with challenges like rising interest rates, inflation to be watched out for in the coming quarters. The great news is that the Indian markets have outperformed the global markets by a steep margin, which speaks for volumes about the India story. With India outperforming, I'm honored that Steelcast Limited too has delivered a consistent significant growth on a year-on-year basis in terms of revenue, EBITDA, PAT, and the margins, which have improved substantially. Our team at Steelcast has worked tirelessly to achieve this success, and I'm incredibly proud of their efforts. I would like to take this opportunity to extend my gratitude to our dedicated employees who have been instrumental in driving our success. Their hard work and commitment have been essential in achieving our goals. An assessment of relentless efforts can be proven by our revenue from operations for this quarter, which showed a significant increase of 52% year-on-year and helped us to achieve 119.7 crores of turnover. The company reported an EBITDA of rupees 30.7 crores, an increase of 84% on a year-on-year basis, with an increased EBITDA margin of 25.7% for the quarter. Our EBITDA margins have increased 450 basis points on a yearly comparison to the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Our PBT has shown a strong increase of 124%, which translates into 25.8 crores with PBT margin of 21.5%. PAT for Q3 FY23 stood at rupees 19.3 crores, which was again an increase of 126% on a year-on-year basis with PAT margins of 16.1%. Our strong financial performance is the result of our continuous efforts in increasing operational efficiencies at all stages of our manufacturing process, and we keep our hopes firm to perform better in the coming quarters. During the quarter gone by, our revenue from exports has been 65% and 35% from domestic sales. We have strong order booking across all our serviceable segments, and to cater to the ongoing demand, our capacity has reached to the level of 55% till Q3 FY23, which is far better than 40% till Q3 FY22. We expect full capacity utilization to be achieved somewhere between FY26 and FY27. Apart from this, as a result of our continuous efforts to be one-stop solution for our customers, 70% of our sales is in the form of machine castings. Both hybrid and solar power plants are on track, and we expect them to be commissioned on or before 31st March 2023. Savings in power costs arising out of commissioning of both these power plants will be realized effective April 23, and annual savings would be in excess of rupees 10 crores. Both these plants will meet around 80% of our total power requirement at present capacity utilization, and the balance 20% requirement will be met through the State Electricity Board. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for question answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you and congratulations for good numbers. Just wanted to check, are we running at around 4,000 tons on the quarterly volumes as of now?
Yeah, we are averaging around 4,100.
Okay. What will be your outlook for volumes in the next year, that is 24? Do you see any challenge or do you see growth?
As of now, our internal operating budget is still under preparation, which will be ready by March. But we expect to do about 5,000 tons per quarter.
Okay. So basically, you're looking at about a 20%+ volume growth next year.
Yes, likely to be.
Okay. Do you have the necessary order inflow, inquiries, or interest to support this 5,000 tons?
Yeah, with most of our customers, they give us a clear visibility of forward 12 months. And with this, and within that 12 months, the first 3 months are of firm zone, and the indications from all of them is that in all the infrastructure industries where we are present, the visibility is good. There is, I would say, very little effect for slowdown or things like that. So hopefully, whatever we are projecting for the quarter, we should be able to perform.
Okay. And my last question is, sir, there were company-level initiatives which you had taken in terms of new segments and new customers. If you could, give some update on, what's the status of the same?
Diversifying into new industries. And within the new industries, approaching different customers is an ongoing process. Whatever roadmap we have laid down, I think we are on track. Only thing is, I would be hesitant to, give names of customers on this call with a fear of, information going to competition. But we are very much on track, and the de-risking strategy, what we have been working on over the last few years, is also on track as of this year. And we are hopeful of adding new industries in the coming 1 to 2 years.
Can you just share the progress on the railroad side, if possible?
Yes, our certification for supply to CMS, the railroad industry, the inspection was over. We were to receive the final certification from April, but we have communication from them that still it has been moving through the internal approval process, and we should now receive by February end. So as soon as we receive, the customers who need AAR approval will start sending orders.
Is this built in that 5,000? Thank you. I'll come back now.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but there's disturbance from your line. I'll request you to mute your line when you're not speaking because it's interrupting the call. Thank you. So you may please proceed with your questions.
Is this built in the 5,000 tons, any railroad?
Yeah, it's built in.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Keshav from Ruxins Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats for a great quarter, sir. Sir, previously you mentioned that we are probably one of the 5-6 niche casting players in the world for the kind of market we cater to. And in the annual report, there was a mention of the global market tonnage of about 4 lakh tons. So we have a meaningful market share to tap. So could you help understand who are the rest of 5-6 players? Where are these located and what percentage of tonnage overall comes from China?
Yeah, this information we keep receiving from our customers, different customers in different countries. But we really can't say for sure whether we are 5, 6, or 7, within this niche market, yes, there are 6, 7 companies across the world.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, you mentioned that most of our customers have been there with us for more than 25-30 years. So is any incremental growth expected only from new customers, or there is also a scope to increase wallet share?
Whatever we are projecting for the FY24 is growth from the existing customers on existing parts. There is growth from existing customers in new parts, and there is growth from new industries, and within the new industries, new customers and new parts. This is all bundled together, what we are forecasting for the next financial year.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, lastly, a bit of a long shot, but you've reiterated that a slowdown isn't palpable in the segments we are serving and the forecast is pretty strong. But if indeed a slowdown were to happen, and like what happened around 2014-15, would this time around we be more resilient because of maybe the China plus one demand coming to us? And the domestic demand also is pretty good right now. So what do you think would be if indeed we have a slowdown?
As you rightly remembered, this 14-15, there was a very high industry concentration. There was a very high client concentration. And within client concentration, a very high concentration on fewer parts. But over 5-6 years, with as part of a de-risking strategy, a lot of new industries they have been added within the industry, new customers, existing customers, newer parts, and also we are long-term debt-free from September 21. And our de-risking strategy is an ongoing exercise. And so with all this, even if there's a slowdown, the effect may be marginal. Something what happened in FY14-15 may not happen to us.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. And all the best for this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Priyank Parekh from Nirup Consultants, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Chetan bhai, we have mentioned in the presentation that there is some gain due to the foreign exchange as well as lower input prices. And if I see the GP value, that has increased by 2% compared to the previous quarter. but compared to the previous year, it has reduced by 7%. So can you elaborate more on these things?
Excuse me, we lost you in between. Can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, sure. So my question is on the thing that we have gained from the lower input prices as well as foreign exchange.
Right, right.
Yeah. Now, if I see the GP margin, that has increased by 2 percentage points compared to the...
Excuse me. We are losing you. You need to be probably near to the mic.
Now am I audible?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Parekh. Sir, can you use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone?
Now am I audible?
Sir, there's an echo from your line right now.
Yeah. Now?
Mr. Parekh, your audio is still not clear.
Now am I audible?
Sir, this is a little better. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my question is on the gross profit margin that we have mentioned that we have gained due to the lower input prices. Now if I see compared to the previous quarter, we have better gross profit margin, but compared to the previous year, the gross margin has came down significantly. So can you elaborate more on this?
There have been some benefits of foreign exchange and slightly lower input cost, but in terms of profits, PBT or PAT, compared to the corresponding quarter, I don't see any decline or happening.
Yes, correct. So when we have raw material price increase passing on close with most of our customers, how these lower input prices are helping us?
See, this all this works whether input prices go up or down, we get compensated or we give reduction with a lag of a quarter. So whatever input prices which have gone down in the quarter October, November, December, there would be some price reduction effective 1st January. Same way, when input prices go up, our pass on is happening with a lag of a quarter. So these things keep happening, you know, as input prices keep going up and down.
Okay, so is the gross margin of 73% sustainable for upcoming quarters? In case the raw material price doesn't move much.
We really don't focus on the gross operating margin, but in terms of EBITDA. We are a B2B company. We supply to all the OEMs in every industry sector we do. So any number 23, 24 number is a good EBITDA. With that, we should be very, very, very happy. So the focus is on increasing volumes wherever opportunities arise. The focus is not on increasing EBITDA. So we would rather grow the company than make an attempt to increase 3, 4, 5% improvement in EBITDA.
Yes. Got it. My last question is on our domestic sales. So I guess compared to the last year as well as previous quarter, the domestic sales has been stagnated. So when we are seeing that we are not seeing much of the problem in Indian economy, why there is stagnancy?
See, when we work with so many different OEMs, the OEMs in India, their sales in the Indian market, their sales in the international markets, vis-a-vis our efforts of focusing on domestic and exports. So if you see over a 10-15 year period, we have been trying to maintain around 55% exports and 45% domestic. And these things keep moving, you know, in 8 to 10% range. Like this quarter, we managed to do about 65% exports. Maybe the preceding quarter we did probably lower than 65. But this is the band. This is the band we want to operate in this band.
Okay. So, for the next year, when the outlook is for 20% volume growth, would it be coming from both of the geographies, I mean, export as well as domestic, or where we are seeing that growth?
Absolutely, absolutely. These growths are coming from domestic, from exports, from the new industries we have penetrated. Within the new industries, there are new customers we have done, we developed parts for them. So these are all, you know, bundled together, as I said earlier. And we should do 20%+ growth next year. This is what it looks like as of now.
Okay. And what is our current order book?
We are booked for about, in terms of months, about 3 months, and in terms of value, maybe about 125-130 crores.
Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Abhisar Jain from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great performance.
Thank you.
Sir, my question is that this year we have seen a very substantial growth, notwithstanding the slowdown-related information and news that we keep hearing from the global markets. So, sir, in this year's volume growth, can you give some indication that what percentage would have come from the new parts given to existing customers, and approximately what percentage of volume growth would have come from new customers itself?
Actually, we do have this MIS in the company, but it's not handy at the moment. What is the business from the base industry and what is the business from the new industries we entered? But maybe if you can send us an email, we'll respond to you in the next 48 hours.
Sure, sir. Sure, sir. And sir, just to get a little bit more idea on this point itself, that in terms of the outlook that you're giving for another 20% volume growth, and plus minus, depending on the scenario, I'm just trying to understand that, is it the newer business that we are getting from our existing clients which are giving us more confidence, or is it the ramp-up from some of the new clients that will drive this?
I think I did answer this before one or two questions somebody else also asked. Whatever we are seeing, it's all bundled together. More business from existing customers, more business from the new parts we have developed from the new industries we are catering to. So it's a combination of many things.
Sure, sir. Understood. And the second question is on the margin. So we have actually been running at slightly higher margins than our guided range, I suppose, considering this quarter on EBITDA level, we have even crossed 25% margin. But you would be maintaining the same margin range of 20-25%, or is there a case for being slightly higher for that range in terms of the outlook?
See, as I just said, we are a B2B company supplying to, you know, OEMs all across the world.
Correct.
22, 23, 24, 25, we are very happy. In fact, we would rather focus on increasing volumes, you know, increasing turnover, than trying to get, you know, this extra 2-4%. So the focus is on more on growth than on the EBITDA percentages.
Right. Right. But sir, any lower range you want to indicate that below which you would not go, or at this scale you will not be going?
I think the broad range, comfortable, and as we are in the niche market, in a niche segment, a broad range should be 20-25. If
right,
we are able to operate within this range, we should be happy.
Right, sir. Right. And so just the last question, that the next year when we are targeting a quarterly run rate of 5,000 tons, I am assuming that the American Railroad related order will take its own sweet time still to build up. Can you give a guidance that even if we have very limited contribution from American Railroad, what range we could still continue to be at?
So as I said some time back, this is a combination of many, many things. We are projecting volume growth of about 20%. Existing parts, newer parts, existing customers, new customers, existing industries, new industries. But by and large, I would say the strategy, what we have and what we've been following and what we have achieved over the last 8-9 quarters, something similar should happen going forward.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir, and best wishes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nidhi Babaria from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So can you help me understand what are these new products, industries, and...
Nidhi, ma'am, your audio is not clear. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Yeah, sure. Is it better now?
Slightly better. Please proceed.
Okay. Sir, can you help me understand what are these new products, industries and customers, and who we are peers in these areas where we are planning to expand?
The newer industries which we've been focusing over the last 2-3 years is locomotives, ground engaging tools, the railroad industry, to some extent defense in India. The defense parts would be going into the defense equipments. In terms of ground engaging tools, these are used for mining and earth moving industries. In terms of locomotives now, General Motors makes locomotives, Caterpillar makes locomotives, General Electric makes locomotives. So these are locomotive components. And the railroad, in terms for the railroad industry, these are bogie parts.
Okay. And sir, who would be our peers over here, and what would be the tentative market share or some sort of industry numbers? Where any rough idea on what would be our market share?
The market share in this newer industry, because we're just beginning to sell, these are very minuscule numbers. These are big markets.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, in short, there are a lot of opportunities for us to encash and grow more in this industry.
Okay. And so what would be our peers?
In the Indian, in India, there would be 4-5 companies who are steel foundries in India. They are PTC Industries, Gujarat Intras, Magna Electro Steel, and maybe one more who are in the listed space.
Okay, and when we bid for these orders, what would be our moat? Is it the overall industry which is growing and where we are able to get these kind of orders with 12 months of visibility, or is it some of the players who are, closing down the division where we are getting the opportunity?
No, any suppliers to OEMs, if they are strategic suppliers, they would be given this forward 12 month visibility. But it's not given to each and everyone who are supplying. So whoever are strategic suppliers to OEMs, they do get forward 12-month visibility. Now, whether they are auto or non-auto, it doesn't matter. And there's one more peer company which I forgot, is also Simplex Casting in India.
Okay. So, I just wanted to understand, like, what would be our moat when we are, where we have just started this division and we are getting the orders. So, is it the locomotive industry where the new CapEx or new demand which is coming on, or is it the existing business and existing demand which is?
As I said, sir, all this initiatives on the newer industries, on the existing industries we are catering to. Within the existing industry, we have developed a lot of new parts. So this is all bundled together, and that's how we are projecting growth next year.
Okay. Okay, and sir, currently, like in this quarter itself, we have achieved 25% of EBITDA margin with our volumes going up from 4,000 to 5,000 tons. Do we expect that these margins could even be higher, considering the operating leverage and overall raw material prices?
As I said earlier, we are a B2B company supplying to all OEMs across the world. 23, 24, 25 EBITDA margin percentage, but we should be happy. The focus should be more on growing the business rather than, you know, getting 1% or 2%, 3% more EBITDA margin.
Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surit Deora from Paladin Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Chetan bhai. I'm sorry I joined the call a few minutes late. I just wanted to clarify, in this quarter, you did 4,000 tons?
Right, right.
For FY23, is it likely to remain the same run rate, about 4,000 tons for the next quarter or so?
4,100, 4,200, you know?
Okay. And so 16,000 roughly for the year will go to about 20,000-21,000 in the following year?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you mentioned, one comment you made was that you have 3 months order booking for about 130 crores. So this is different from, when you say 3 months order booking, but you have visibility for 1 or 2 years. Could you just help us understand, both these points together?
See, when you say what's your order book, that would mean physical purchase orders in place. So that's the number, 125-130 crores. But we also have a forward visibility where there is a 3-month firm zone. When one says, what is this 3-month firm zone means? The customer would surely place orders on the indicative volume they have given for this firm zone.
So the customer will give you a one-year visibility of, let's say, 5,000 tons or 10,000 tons or whatever it is for a year, and then each, in a three-month period, they will give you POs.
Yeah, they give visibility for a year, but they also say that this is firm requirement for the next 90 days.
Right. So on a rolling 90-day basis, they'll keep issuing purchase orders to you.
Right. Yeah, but when we say, when somebody asks, what's your order book? We don't factor all those other things. We just say, what's the number in hand, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Because you're only talking about the existing purchase order which you received.
Right, right, right. But-
And the-
Actually, if you factor in the factor on the indicative load in the firm zone for the next 2, 3 months, this number will increase.
Right. Okay. And then the pricing is determined on a quarterly basis. So if the price of metal went down in the previous quarter, that would be in effect in quarter four. So your realization in quarter four could be a little bit lower. And similarly, if the prices of steel are going up in quarter four, it'll start reflecting on quarter one of the next fiscal year.
Absolutely. But the realization will be lower, but there will also be, you know, lower input costs. So they'll-
Yeah.
They'll get compensated.
Yeah, your margin might stay the same or go up because of your operating leverage and other reasons. But the selling price and the selling price reset and your raw material reset will take place on a quarterly basis, more or less.
Absolutely. And we either pass on or we get compensated. This all happens with a lag of a quarter.
Right. Okay. And broadly, between the last quarter and now, you're not seeing any concern or any slowdown or any matter of concern in terms of fresh order booking or fresh inquiries?
No, see, the industries we are catering in are by and large, directly, indirectly, is infrastructure industry. Now, most of the countries, because of the slowdown, there is a focus on infrastructure in probably each and every country of the world, whatever they can afford. That's the reason our customers feel that there's no effect of slowdown on these industries. And in turn, we keep saying that there is no effect of slowdown or anything.
Okay. And then at this rate, you are already at, next year you'll be at about 70-odd% utilization level, 70 plus. So how do you plan to further enhance production capacities? Is that something that you're looking at already?
We have been working on addition of capacities. It's work in progress, and maybe we will decide in the first quarter of the next financial year on what we intend to do going forward. And hopefully by FY27 we should reach full 100% or near 100% utilization. So we should be able to decide in the first quarter of FY24.
Regarding your new CapEx?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is on the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Bottom Up Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Okay. Sir, wanted to understand one thing on the pricing and our profitability part. So from an internal MIS perspective and from management perspective, do we track it more like an EBITDA per ton number? Because, so for example, we did around 4,000 ton of sales this quarter for a 30-31 crore of EBITDA, roughly around 75,000 of EBITDA per ton. So is that a more appropriate number to look to remove the volatility of the pricing of metal?
Actually, we don't, on a day-to-day basis, we really don't focus on EBITDA rupees per ton or EBITDA margin. The focus is on to keep increasing the business, which is profitable. Some may have 21% EBITDA margin, some may have 23, some may have 24. But basically, wherever it is profitable, keep growing, you know, and not to get stuck on a EBITDA percentage basis. But obviously, we do keep an eye on the EBITDA margins, but that's really not the focus. Focus is on growth, on improving top line wherever there's profitability.
Got it. And sir, the second question is more, when we look at this business, right, so you mentioned 4-5 players, wanted to understand that how do we create moat? Is it that we try to create new parts in that particular industry need, and those parts might be unique to us, or maybe we might have that first mover advantage or the importance of mold which we develop, which gives us the advantage over the competition. So wanted to understand that, and maybe across all players, there could be some other player who is strong in one particular aspect or one particular part. We might be there strong in one other part. But the business understanding part, what exactly differentiates between two players and how do we keep adding new parts? Is it more that we develop our molds or something like that?
See, all the OEMs, you know, we keep working on their newer models, their modification designs, and whoever are the strategic suppliers, whether it be Steelcast or ABC or XYZ, the strategic suppliers get the first advantage of to quote a part and to get the business. And obviously the track record of the past development, on-time development, the current performance on senior supplies in terms of on-time deliveries and various other competitive advantage one would have. And obviously, in our case, we are strategic suppliers at most of the places. So we would get an opportunity to quote and we would get preference over others. So That's how this works.
The reason I ask that, so to follow up on this question itself, that for us, a good part of the business comes from export. But when we look at India also, then there are many new capex investments in the infra part which is happening. Now, how do we get access or how do we try to grow to the new customer? Is it through a sales-driven approach? Or is the focus more to increase the domestic business to 50%, obviously through growth of both export and domestic? But anyway, we can, you think that we can capture the domestic growth in the infra part here?
No, just to answer, quickly answer what you're saying is, the pricing in the domestic market is not as good as the export market. So the focus is obviously export. But wherever we are comfortable on pricing, we would cater to the domestic market also. And but most of the large volume industries in India, the pricing is very poor. So though the volume requirements are very large, a company like Steelcast would not cater to those markets at all.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Just a quick clarification on the capex. While you said that you will decide in Q1 of 24, is there scope to do any brownfield expansion or will this have to be a greenfield?
There would be scopes in the brownfield also, but we would prefer greenfield, the facilities suiting our products and the manufacturing process. What we intend to have for a typical part, and obviously the layouts and the technology and things like that, we would rather prefer greenfield than brownfield.
Okay, understood. Sure. And you mentioned that the revenues for the quarter have some benefit of forex gain. Is it possible to quantify the same?
Please repeat your question.
You mentioned that we have enjoyed some benefit of forex gain in the current quarter. Is it possible to quantify the same?
Yeah, maybe about 1 crore plus.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure. And just wanted to understand, you mentioned that normally a customer will give you a 3-month or a 90-day visibility and that would be at an X rupees realization. So we would normally be booking our inventory also back-to-back. And hence our margins should more or less at gross margin level or gross profit level be steady, right? Because you mentioned that you pass it on with a 1-quarter lag.
Yeah, but because we have a good visibility of 4-5 quarters, we don't carry that large inventory for 4-5 quarters, you know. Our average inventories will be, I would say, a 30-day time.
Despite the fact that you have an order for 90 days and you know what volume you have to do, say for the next quarter, you will still carry only 30 days inventory.
Absolutely. Once you start carrying more, there's a lot of blockage of funds in terms of, you know, the storage facilities and things like that. So we would work with 30 to 40 days of inventory, whether we have 2 months, 3 months visibility or 6 months ever. But we would not carry more inventories than this 38 to 40 day period.
Understood. And next year, like you mentioned earlier, we will be at about closer to 70% utilization. What is the peak we can do with the current capacity? Can we go up to 90-95 or what is the peak?
I just said a little while ago that FY27 we should reach a near 100%.
Okay, so we can go up to 100%. We can do full 30,000.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jatin from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Jatin, your audio is sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, just give me a second. I hope this is better.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity. My first question is on the couple of times in last 10 years, we have seen a very big pullback in revenue, one which we discussed in 2014 and 2015. But even if I look at FY20, there was a very sharp pullback. And even when I remove the quarter which was impacted by COVID, which was fourth quarter, there was like 40% decline in first 9 months revenue. Now, since this new industry, as you stated, are not really contributing meaningfully, how can we be confident about the fact that such a pullback cannot come and we may not see a very big drop in revenue?
See, some years back, there was a lot of industry concentration. Within the industry, there was a substantial client concentration. And within the client concentration, there was substantial concentration on fewer parts. So over the last 4-5 years, we have added more industries, more customers in the existing industries, and more customers in the newer industries. We have developed a lot of parts, maybe 250-300 parts over the last 5-6 years. So plus number of countries we used to export some years back was just one or two. We are now doing exporting in 15 different countries and with addition of newer industries. So the cyclicality will reduce substantially. And this de-risking strategy is an ongoing process. We still have some more miles to cross, but hopefully within next couple of years, maybe 3-4 years, we might be able to completely de-risk the company.
Sir, if you can give us some specific about what happened in 2020. Was it that one big client who was contributing some 70% of our revenue? If you can give us some numbers, then that will give us more confidence that how you have progressed on journey. I mean, right now I understand that you have done a lot of work, but still I'm unable to assess that how far we are in the journey.
Well, I appreciate your question. Only thing is on this investors call, we generally refrain from talking about customers and specific customers and volumes and values and all.
No worries, sir. I understand completely.
So I'm sorry for this, but maybe if you happen to visit us, we can share some more details. But at this point, you have to take home that the company is far more broad-based than what it was some years ago.
Yeah. Would definitely love to talk more about this, and we'll try and visit you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Second question is on CapEx. Now, you alluded to the fact that you might be looking at CapEx, and maybe there might be some more announcement around that in 1Q. Of course, I mean, things are work in progress. But could you just give us an idea that the new facility which you would look for would be like similarly like 30,000 tons or a smaller one? And what kind of CapEx number we should think about?
See, as I said earlier, this is work in progress at our end. We are working on this in terms of layout, in terms of the capacity numbers. I can tell you for sure that we would straight away not jump to some 50% of existing capacity.
Okay.
We may have a macro plan of increasing by 50%, but we will do it on a modular basis, you know, in multiples of 5,000 tons year on year.
Okay.
This is to safeguard the company in case of a sudden slowdown or a recession, which we are not foreseeing now, but it might happen in the future also. So we would work in that line. We will have a macro plan of 15,000, but we'll have another micro plan of increasing in multiple of 5,000 tons every year.
Okay. And sir, I mean, kind of CapEx we would be looking at?
We are not yet ready to give you a number, but hopefully on the investors call of Q4, we should have something ready to share with.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Manager Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, we being a casting company, you know, it is remarkable that we make 20 to 25% EBITDA margins. So just wanted to understand what is leading to such high margins. Is it the technicality of our products, or is it because of our manufacturing efficiency or the scale that we have developed, or some any other reasons you can say?
You know, this is once again a combination of various factors. Operational efficiency is one. Pricing is number two. Three, in terms of the product mix we select from the customers, in consultation with them, and of course, very hard work by all our employees. All this put together is we would have, you know, numbers what you are seeing now.
So what kind of castings generally do we make which are higher margin?
Say that again.
What kind of castings do we make? Is it more related to engine-based castings or transmission-based? Can we just talk a little bit about it?
No, we don't have any differentiation between castings which are high margins and castings with low margins. We really don't have that. Our customers give business on what we are good at, and we accept also on what we are good and confident for manufacturing. And margins are by and large, when you average it out, it is what you see on the quarterly results.
So, just to put it in another way, if I look at iron or aluminum casting players, they don't make these kind of margins, but we are able to make these kind of margins. We just wanted to understand what is the difference that we do, that we have against aluminum or other iron casting players.
Please repeat your question, and can you please be near your mic, because I'm not able to hear you.
No, so I just wanted to understand, there are aluminum and iron casting players as well, but they are not able to make the kind of margins that we make. So just wanted to understand what would be the reason for it.
The iron castings are not as complicated as steel castings. Iron castings are mostly used in the auto industry, two-wheeler, three-wheeler, four-wheelers, and things like that. The complexity is not as high as steel castings. The manufacturing resources required are not as high as steel castings. So, and of course, number of players in the iron castings are too large, too many, which makes the margins razor thin. So these are some factors where steel castings have more margins than iron castings.
And
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Aditya. So maybe request that you return to the question queue. There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Iyer. Sir, your audio is not clear.
Is it clear now?
Sir, it's still the same. Can you use the handset mode?
Yeah, I'm using the handset mode.
Is it clear now? Sir, it's still the same.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on.
Thank
you. Hello. Is it clear now?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Hello. Yeah. Congratulations, sir, on good set of number. I just want to know about this hybrid power of 4.5 megawatt and solar plant of 5 megawatt. When is the plan to commence this? I guess you had given a timeline of around end of March or something. I just wanted to know, is it in progress to reach, start commencing the power plant by then, or what is the situation as of now?
I have said this on this call before, and also it's part of the investor presentation which has been uploaded on the website. Both these plants, the commissioning is on track, and we hope to commission both these plants on or before 31st March 23. And hopefully we should start realizing savings from April 23 onwards.
Okay. My second question would be, we see some slowdown in Europe, right? And due to this, I just want to know, how is our business, in relation to the European operations, if you could.
There is a talk of slowdown across Western Europe and North America and rest of the world. But the industries we are in probably don't see the recession coming in. And we have strong feedback from customers that there is no slowdown in the industry where we are catering. So that's the reason then we keep saying that there is no effect on us. There may be effect on housing, consumer products, maybe high food inflation, but nothing to do with our industries and our parts and our business model as of now.
Okay, just one last question. I just wanted to confirm, if I'm not wrong, the savings from this plant would be around 10 to 12 crores, right? Once this plant starts, for an entire year, let's assume for FY24, on savings on the power cost.
In excess of 10 crores annually from both these plants.
Okay, right. Yeah, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Tamboli for his closing comments.
Yeah, first of all, thank you all for taking time out and joining this investor call. As most of us are seeing a lot of headwinds at the global level, but I would be happy to state that with a lot of headwinds, there are also significant tailwinds to the India story, both in medium term and long term. The China plus one strategy will also play a part in our company as also in rest of the good companies in India. We also anticipate a big spending on infrastructure in India, and hopefully hearing the announcement in the forthcoming budget, raising of more than usual resources from this investment and asset monetization to back higher allocation. I would like to end by saying that the world is undergoing a lot of challenges, but there is a lot of optimism also that things, after all, may not be as bleak as it seems to be now. And we all at Steelcast are quite optimistic about our future endeavors. So thank you all for your time, and all the best for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.